Tonight on Full Credit to the Boys, the NRL for 2015 is 48 hours away, which, funnily enough, is about how long it's been since there's been a controversy. The V8 Supercars season begins, and once again, for what seems like the 10th week in a row, the World Cup continues. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening. It's episode 9 of Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. Find myself, Late Mailman, at Late Mailman. And with me, you can find him at former_legend. Funnily enough, it's former legend.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm going well. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, very well. It's been a big week yet again.
It has. Can the footy just start already?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to put a few things out on the table straight up.
Okay.
Your girl, Yvonne Sampson.
Right.
It looks like she's jumped the fence to the former legend's backyard and asked me to go to the trots with her, which is not the worst date I've been on.
Wow. So she's talked about watching something with boring NRL guy and then to former legend. Does that mean she'll eventually get to me?
Take a number. We'll get back to you.
You know what? I think we should get her on this podcast before too long. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a great idea.
She is one of the faces of Channel 9's Rugby League, so what better time to do it than when the NRL is about to kick off? Let's do the news. Do you think Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel would have liked to have written something like that?
I was thinking about David Guetta doing a techno mix.
Yeah, like a dubstep.
Yeah.
Techno.
Featuring.
Tech mix.
Featuring our news.
It's song. Fantastic. I love it.
Anyway.
Hey, look, our news for this week, our first topic of conversation is the ICC World Cup. And it says here, lumbers on. Like Shane Watson running into bowl, it just lumbers on and on.
You know what they should have done?
What?
Everyone should have had a shave the night before this thing began.
Yeah, and made it into a beard comp. I like it.
Yeah, Amla obviously can grow one, so he'd be well out in
front. Is he allowed to shave one, though? That's the thing.
All right, we'll probably let him off.
We're probably getting a little bit too far into it, though. The Afghans won their first ever game. How good was that?
How good a sport. That, my friend, is what people go to see.
That's exactly right.
And the very fact that next ICC World Cup, there will not be the Minnows, this story in itself should say to you, leave them there. I think it was fantastic. And the scenes straight after it were amazing.
Would you go as far as to say that that match and the result of that match was almost a culmination of every Minnow match we've had to sit through up to this point?
Yeah. It was, I mean, yeah. I know it's only Scotland, but a win's a win.
Yeah.
And good on them.
Now, the SAF has hit 408 against the West Indies.
Yeah.
408. Not the first time that 400 has been hit in ODI, however.
What they declare.
That's pretty obscene, isn't it? 408 off 300 balls, effectively.
And the symmetry of it being on the SCG, Phil Hughes's number.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about that one.
Yeah. It was amazing. Did you see any of it?
I didn't see that one. No. I was... where was I? That was on Saturday, wasn't it? No, was that Friday?
Friday.
It was Friday. I just wasn't there. Mm. I'll tell you that much. You know why? Because the ICC refused to acknowledge memberships to grounds.
Mm.
So as if I'm going to pay to go to the SCG when I already give them $1,000 a year.
You don't do the wave. You don't go to the ICC World Cup.
We can't do the wave because we're too busy sitting down and drinking our full-strength beer.
Yeah, well, both hands on it, being wankers that yous are.
The Australians were beaten in a thriller by the Kiwis. That final over thriller, Australia got rolled for 150 and we thought, well, this is going to be an early afternoon.
It was a fair indication you don't need to score 4 million runs to have a great game of cricket.
Amazingly, I would never normally attribute a good point to Mr. Mark M.G. Geyer, but he does have them from occasion.
Is that what he said?
He said that it was about time that something was given back, like the bowlers brought something back. You know? So 19 wickets were taken in the best part of, well,
40
New Zealand overs. New Zealand still had about 20-odd overs in hand. So, but no, it was good to, and that final over by Mitchell Starc, that was exceptional.
Just
it was
because we're probably not going to touch on this much further, did you see the Michael Clarke in the press conference after the game?
I've seen snippets of it.
Have you seen him sort of having a bit of a stab at Lehman? Did I see that right?
We've seen that happen quite a bit. Not quite a bit, but more than once over the past couple of months. I'm pretty sure it was the tour just before the Australian summer, which might have been the United Arab Emirates tour against Pakistan. Yes, yes, yeah. I think there was a little bit of a snipe during one presser there.
That's right.
Almost indicating that Clark hadn't got the team that he wanted.
Yes.
Does it
vindicate what Warren said?
I was going to say the same thing. It comes back to what Warren suggested, perhaps, that there needs to be clear demarcations between who's in charge where and who's in charge here and who's in charge there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the World Cup continues. By my calculations, it's been about 3 to 4 weeks now, so there should be 17 weeks remaining. Is that right?
I think there's 17. I think they've got a bye week, and then they stop for State of Origin or something.
Rest week for that one. Yeah.
And then I think they stop for New Year's Eve or something.
No, that's ridiculous. No, they finish like a week before Christmas.
Sorry. I got an exaggeration.
You are getting a bit ridiculous, mate. Our next topic, Souths, whacked with a wet lettuce leaf, fined $20,000 over the Arizona cover-up. No bans, no playing bans for John Sutton or Luke Burgess or Shane Richardson, I guess, for that matter. Incidentally, that $20,000, there was a lot of Twitter activity on this over the past 24 to 48 hours, as I'm sure you would have seen. That $20,000 is a little bit of an auspicious number, I suppose. I'm pretty sure that's what Mitchell Pearce got for his incident in the nightclub in about April last year.
All by himself.
And I'm pretty sure the Bulldogs got that number.
For coming out late
in the grand final because they didn't want to run out to glory to South Sydney. I got accused of beating this up the other day, but I personally don't think $20,000 is enough. I just don't.
No,
it may well be enough, but unfortunately there hasn't been precedent set. That's the whole thing. There's been just random numbers thrown out when they want to find someone. They just need to pluck a number out, and it's almost like Oz Lotto, and whatever balls drop is what they find.
I know South fans are staunch and vitriolic, especially when someone has a crack at their club. But I'll say it isn't enough, because 20,000 of that club right now, with James Packer writing checks,
it's a drop in the ocean.
Russell Crowe writing checks, and they've got their World Club Challenge money. They've got every other cent that they've won in the last...
And they've got like Joel Reddy playing for them.
And they've got Joel Reddy playing for unders. Yeah. So with that in mind, it is a whack in the guts with a wet lettuce leaf. I'll tell you who hasn't looked good out of all this is the NRL Integrity Unit. I mean, if you've seen that press conference, Hoodie, that was tantamount
to embarrassing. I did hear a lot of it this morning. They were found out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the boss of the Integrity Unit is...
Is it Suzanne Young?
Suzanne Young, correctamundo. Now, she went out there and absolutely got savaged by the media.
They were merciless, absolutely.
Yeah, but with good right, with well within their rights. As I think it was Paul Kent came out and said, the Integrity Unit is nothing more than a propaganda unit. It's there to... run through the actions, make the league look like they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't agree more with what Kenny wrote today. They need to go back and have a good, long, hard look at themselves. And there are people on big money running that thing. And their performance in this case in particular is woeful.
Well, by their own admission, there's work to be done. I'm not even paraphrasing there. It was danced around a little bit, but there is work to be done. I think no one can deny that. So.
It's hard to draw a line in all these cases and find some consistency.
No.
And that's what people
want.
It's
like a spiderweb.
People want that, you know. Like Brett Stewart got suspended, you know. Gallen got $50,000 fine.
Yeah.
All these things. Mitchell Pearce, $20,000. We can go on and on and on, but just find us some consistency.
And next one. The Gold Coast cocaine saga. I've got to say, I'm a bit... I almost tweeted today. I was like, you know what? No, I won't. I'll save it for the podcast to have a little bit of a gripe. I'm so sick of morons in this game. I love this game, and I've loved this game for decades.
Mm.
I just want the footy to start and for players to just pull their heads in.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. This has been going on for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
This isn't a new...
And like a lot of people have said, it's a societal problem. It's not just in rugby league.
And unfortunately, it's going to happen. It might even happen more than normal in this game because of the money these blokes have got to throw around and the spare time they've got on their hands. But to think that it's a rugby league thing, and some of the AFL media have now trumped it up as a rugby league thing or a rugby union thing.
Please.
Mate, yeah. Have a look in your own backyard there first.
So Steve Michaels and Ashley Harrison, I believe, were the latest to go down. There was hints, indications that perhaps they were the final two, which goes against everything else we were led to believe. Mind you, if you believe everything you hear, then every player's going down, really, aren't they?
If we believe everything we hear, the Asada thing was going to take out clubs and everything else. So, look, yeah. So, for the time being, that's it. We see what happens in the next week. It's going to go on forever. We're not going to know what happened to those six or eight guys for another probably 6 to 8 months anyway. Whether they play again in the meantime is going to be the more interesting.
Well, yeah. And now there's the gambling saga, which is supposedly unfolding, which was alluded to by Supergrass on the Triple M Sydney Grill team today. So...
But was that a rugby league thing or was that...
Apparently it's a Gold Coast football thing, so it could be rugby league or it could be AFL.
I'm going to say AFL.
Just for the sake of evening the ledger.
We just need
allegedly,
one.
Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly. Our next one. Trent Merrin signs for 3 years at Penrith for $2 million, so $700,000 per. And while that one's sort of come to a conclusion, whether you're happy or not, the Daily Cherry Evans saga drags on. Which one of them has bored you the most?
Oh, Cherry Evans by far.
We've got a little bit of negative undertones tonight. We've got to pick this up a little bit.
Yeah, Cherry Evans by far.
It could be me dragging it down. I apologise if that's the case.
It has been a circus from day dot. He has done everything to... Well, it was either him or his manager have done everything to get their heads in the paper. It's been an embarrassment. I feel sorry for Manly. I will say something about the Merrin thing, but he came out and said that he looks forward to going to Penrith where he feels his game will lift to a new level.
Right.
If that isn't a big kick in the guts to Paul McGregor on the way out the door, I'm not here. And in return, Paul McGregor, I believe, has named him on the bench for this weekend.
Has he really? Best forward.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
$2 million, 3 years, bench player.
Oh, well, he's got to prove himself. Prove that he does actually want to be there as part of that team for the next 30-odd weeks.
So, doubting his professionalism? Or?
I guess he and McGregor have got to sort their differences out and we'll put them aside, don't they?
I think.
At least leave them off the
field.
I don't
think that's going to happen, but nonetheless.
Oh, well. I guess it does, if it does one thing, then it throws up the argument once again of whether there should be not a draft, but a trade period.
Yeah.
Yes, there's going to be meddling outside.
Of course.
Meddle all you want, as if there's meddling not happening anyway. But it just will cut down on this. There's no other word. But
there's going to be no perfect way to do this, Hoody.
No.
So we're going to look for the less bad way.
Yes, the least bad way. Yeah. That's exactly right. Speaking of... least bad. Ooh. Allegedly. Dave Smith does a 180 saying he thinks small suburban grounds are the future after ice hockey experience. Well, 90% of fans are going to go, no shit.
Mm.
Because we like watching the games at these grounds.
Exactly.
I've been in the very top, very back row at ANZ Stadium.
Worst stadium ever.
I hate it. There's nothing I like about ANZ Stadium.
Mm. I've been to pretty much...
Every rugby league game they play, Puff Daddy's Jimmy Page's Come With Me.
Yeah, right.
Just get a new song, for starters. The trains are the biggest buzzkills in the world.
P1.
I've gone there and watched 4 or 5 grand finals, and by the time I've reached the train station, I'm just like, oh, kill me.
P1's a good night out.
Yeah. That, a good night in, you mean.
Yeah.
Good night in.
Yeah.
Good night on your way out.
It's always a pleasure to pay $19 for a Dagwood dog. A real pleasure.
I've got to say, I like Dave Smith's thinking, because he thinks small suburban grounds are the future.
Mm.
I can't say that... I can't imagine... Well, how's it going to happen? What's going to have to change for it to happen?
Well, they have to change their mindset for a start. Dave was the one who came out and said that suburban grounds are of the dinosaurs and they're about to leave the earth.
Mm.
This 180 is, I don't know, I think Dave hasn't had the best week, let's just say that. I watched that Titans press conference from last week when he said it was a great day for the Titans.
Mm.
Great. It's always great when someone goes bankrupt.
Well, speaking of the Titans, where does that leave them if, you know, suburban grounds are the future? They've got this purpose-built Rabina Stadium.
Oh, look,
Broncos
I don't think...
Broncos have got Suncorp. Like, what, are they supposed to go to some, like, Red Hill Oval or something like
I
this?
I don't think we're going to see the point where teams will downsize.
They meaning just the ones that yeah, are there
that,
might
that do
stay
have
there.
Tradition. The Penrith, the Parramattas, the
Manly's and Tigers.
The Balmain. Shout out to Wests. The West Tigers. Yeah, St George. But... I mean, for teams like the Roosters, maybe even South, the Bulldogs, I think they're happy with their lot in life, but playing in the big stadiums. They might play one or two. I know back to Belmore's happening this year for the Dogs. So I guess, yeah, but for the main, I think it's the more traditional clubs. I don't think we're going back to Seaford Oval for Canberra and places like that.
No. The V8 Supercars began in Adelaide over the weekend. Clipsal, of course, Clipsal 500. James Courtney... One for HRT. Very happy man on Sunday. Frank the Tank came out on top of his car again. He's a fair dork, isn't he, the old JC?
Yeah.
Good driver, dork.
Yeah, don't know a whole heap about the sport, to be honest. I like crashes.
Yeah.
And there was a few of them, so that's always good.
Yeah, there was.
Anytime a car moves a concrete.
Chaz Mostert and Jamie Winkup, I think, came to tangles in on the Sunday races, but...
Anytime a car moves a concrete fence, it's always a crowd pleaser.
Actually, speaking of James Courtney, he's going to feature later in the podcast this evening.
Is
because he did a bit of a... he dropped a couple of...
Shout-outs.
Topical shout-outs during an interview post-race. Next, still on motorsport, Michael Schumacher's son, named Mick. Yeah.
Up all night there.
Didn't realise he was Australian. Michael Schumacher's son, Mick, he's 15 years old. He signed a deal to drive in the Formula 4 with Van Amersfoort Racing.
Mm. Traditional team. Or?
How's the timing with that?
Yeah, his old man's no good, isn't he?
His dad's, 18 months into a coma, 18 months into the start of his life again.
Didn't he come out or something?
He has right? come out.
Okay. Not out of the closet, we're not talking.
No.
Out of a coma.
No, he's come out of his coma, but, mate, he's got a long road ahead of him. And, you know, what's his kid do? But goes and gets into motor racing. I know that he didn't...
Do it in motor racing.
Yeah, but still.
I see.
Dicing with danger. Our penultimate news story of this evening, Michael Checker is open to naming overseas-based Wallabies, which is at odds to the policy that Ewan McKenzie implemented in his brief tenure.
I just don't understand why they would make that a policy. That might be one of the all-time dumb things I've ever seen.
The only thing that I can think of is that they're wanting to protect their local league. That's the only thing I can think of.
I understand that, but then that's hypocritical then, because then they go out and poach league players with more money.
Yeah.
So they're doing exactly what they hate, what they do to the rugby league. And I understand that it's the way of the world, and we're all fine with that. For every league player that goes to rugby union, they come back anyway.
Mm.
So there hasn't been one that hasn't come back from memory.
Willie Kahn never came back.
He's still coming back, mate. Yeah. He's still coming back. So I've never understood that policy. I think it's crazy. It's like saying we're going to win, but if we're going to have to name our reserve grade side, then we will.
I was thinking that was why Nick Cummins, the honey badger, I thought that's why he was coming back to Super Rugby. He spent a year in Japan.
Right.
Maybe he just didn't like Japan.
Mm.
He strikes me as a meat and three veg kind of guy. And
he's he's a strange cat, isn't he?
I don't think that's what you're getting as your staples over in Japan. But anyway, all they need to do is just name their best side, win the World Cup, and that will take care of the local league. That will take care of the grassroots, etc., etc.
Like every time we play New Zealand, they wipe the floor with us. It's like we've got
ourselves weaker.
We've got 10 great players playing overseas. Name them, for Christ's sake.
All right. Ewan McKenzie's gone, so hopefully Michael Checker just, you know, runs with this and something happens in the World Cup later this year. Finally, the NAB Cup begins for the AFL, and already they've had two guys go down with pretty serious injuries. I've written NAB Cup here. That's wrong. It's the NAB Challenge. There's no cup. They're not playing for anything. They're not even playing for a final. It's just a round robin that goes nowhere. That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so which... It's just a preseason. They're just preseason games in some sort of organised fashion that are televised.
While we're on AFL, did you happen to hear Wayne Carey's comments on the Western Sydney Giants?
Were they adulterous?
No. He didn't take them to the toilet and give them a good scene to.
Right.
He actually came out and said that he believes that they will never be self-sufficient. The AFL will always prop them up, and that he doesn't believe that they should actually... he doesn't think they're worthy of existing.
So was he talking about the GWS Giants or the Gold Coast Titans?
Yeah, I think he's sticking to his own sport, which is unusual for AFL guys because they don't usually bag their own.
No, that's exactly right.
So I found it interesting, and I couldn't agree more. I don't ever see the Giants doing too much without the AFL throwing cash at them.
Well, the Suns have got a year on them. This is their year. The Suns have to do something, and the Giants aren't far behind. They're young kids. They're getting older now. Got a bit more bulk, a bit more experience. So, for the good of the game, I'd like to see them both at least rattle the eight this year, if not make it. So,
I don't think we'll see the Giants touch the eight for at least another couple of years.
You know what? We've talked enough about other sports. Sure. Let's get on to
the big
wonderful game. NRL 2015. It's here. It's nearly here. I did say in the intro, it's been 48 hours. Sorry, it's coming in 48 hours, which is about how long it's been without a controversy. Let's hope we can get to that kickoff of that Thursday night game without another stuff up somewhere. Mm. We're not doing overs or unders tonight, but do you reckon, 48 hours till kickoff?
No, we're safe.
You reckon we're safe?
We're safe. They're cotton-wooled. Surely they're locked up.
Write that down, listeners. You can find them at former_legend if something breaks in the next 48 hours. At FCTTB_podcast and myself at Late Mailman, but I'm not the one making these outlandish statements. I was just asking the question.
I'm confident.
All right, instead of starting where you might expect us to and with our minor premiers, nuts to that, let's turn it upside down. I want to know who you think is going to be the wooden spooner of 2015.
Dead set obvious. After the last couple of weeks, the Titans will run last.
Yes.
They are currently, I've just checked Sportsbet, they are at 1 trillion to one to win the comp.
Yep.
I cannot see them.
I got them at infinities.
Coming
infinities to one.
Infinity to one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a dollar on that, people.
Yeah. Never have to work again.
I just don't see them doing anything. This is almost like the Sharks from last year. It's such a mountain to climb for these blokes. I don't think...
To the point where they almost write the season off.
And we still don't know what's going to happen with the blokes that are out, but... With that in mind, I just can't see this whole upheaval being anything but conducive to a wooden spoon.
Well, to that end, I got to be honest here and wish I hadn't done my table a week ago. I have the Titans in 14th.
Do you?
I have Ricky's Raiders at number 16.
Funnily enough, you had what I had up until a week ago. I fixed mine up and but I had the same thing. But now I just don't see any outcome bar the Titans.
Well, maybe I should stop being so bloody lazy then and do my due diligence. We're not going to go through every team in detail and tell you how bad they are and why they'll finish 13th, 14th, 15th, or 16th or anything like that. But there are going to be, we're going to get to our top eight. But who's a team that you've got that maybe should be in the top eight, but you've got them finishing somewhere between 9 and 15.
Oh, well, I've got a recent former premiership team not running in the top eight, and that's the Storm.
When you said a premier team, I was like, Barry O'Farrell liked the West Tigers. What a tenuous link. No, I'm not even being funny. I thought that's where you were going with it. I thought that's obscure but good.
You're kind of like the trolls Twitter for spelling mistakes, aren't you?
There's an apostrophe in there.
I think the Storm are going to miss the eight.
Yep.
I like Finucane. The signing of Finucane from the Bulldogs, or
Finucane,
or however you want to say it. However, I just think losing Hoffman, they're another year older, the big three, and they don't come back quite as well. I believe Billy's had surgery.
Yep.
They're going to have a chunk out for the Origin, And with that in mind, I think they're going to run 10th.
I've actually got the Storm outside the 8 as well, which is what a lot of pundits have been throwing out there in a few print articles in the last week or so.
Right.
I've got the Storm at 9th, and I've also got these guys out of the 8 as well, who many... I just don't believe in the Warriors.
Yeah,
I agree. I've got them finishing 11th because I just... They're like the Shane Watson of the NRL.
Every year, I think, they're exciting. They could do it this year.
They know what they can do. We've seen what they can do.
Every year they let you down. It's like calling a dog to you and then kicking it when it gets to your feet. Eventually the dog's not going to come to you. I'm not predicting the Warriors to do anything. I think they are just a disappointment. Let them surprise me, but no, I don't see them.
Yeah. So when they stuff up, you say I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And make them look feel real
on their
bad.
Day. They're a great team to watch.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I don't see them making the 8.
All right, well, let's get into our top 8s then.
Okay, we'll go from the bottom 4.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah. So we'll start at 8th place. Who you got?
I got the Eels.
Yep.
I know they're missing Hayne. I think Watmore will bring them a bit of mongrel and a bit of leadership. I think this comes off. There's two things that Parramatta are going to focus on this year. Whether they're successful or not, and that will be Will Hopewadi, and how he goes at fullback, and whether Chris Sandow is off the Pies.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I've got them 15th.
Wow.
The only thing I think that Watmo's going to bring to that team, he might bring a bit of leadership up front, but the only thing he can guarantee is one drop ball and one penalty per game.
Jeez, very, very harsh.
Well, I just call it as I said. I've got the Bulldogs in 8th.
Have you?
I got the Bulldogs in 8th. Yeah, I think they'll have glimpses. I think they'll have periods during the season where they'll be the unbackable favourites.
Mm.
You know, they might be flying high till Origin time or you know, middle of the year or something like that. I just think they're going to peter out more so and finish at 8th.
Mm.
7th, who you got?
A team that's going to go up 9 spots. I've got the Sharks finishing 7th.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, they've got no Asada, but a bit of Barber.
Yes.
And I think that they might well do something this year. And I've picked them for 7th, which is a massive rise from last year.
Yeah.
I think Mick Ennis will bring so much to that team.
I hope so.
Yeah. He'll give Robson a little bit more room. And so, yeah, I've got him at 7th.
They want to do something because I don't believe Cherry Evans is going to be their saviour. From what we're led to believe, he's not going to go there.
No.
He just wanted to get a free pie and chips from them from the bistro.
Look at another gym.
Number 7, position 7, I've got the Broncos. They love the finals. They've clearly suffered in recent years. Not suffered, but, you know, just underachieved.
Yeah, I've got them running 9th. I don't think they'll make the 8.
Benny's back. I think he'll get him into the 8. I've got the Broncos at 7. Who you got at 6?
6, the Manly Seagulls.
Yeah.
I think they'll drop 4 spots this year. I can't see how this is going to be anything but counterproductive what Cherry Evans and, to a lesser extent, Foran are doing. Shopping themselves around. There's clearly some disunity there still. And I know that they've overcome that before, but I don't see them doing it this year. And I've got them coming 6th.
I got them 6th as well, funnily enough. Got to agree on something. I just think they've been at the top.
Is this car coming in?
They're not here today, mate. Back it up. Thank you.
He's going.
Manly Seagulls, I just don't... They've been at the top for 10 years.
Stellar 10 years. And... What Tubi's done
point
with that
team? Like the whole salary cap thing is supposed to eradicate this sort of
success,
really, or like, you know, much more even ledger,
which it has in that time in the last 10 years. How many titles?
2.
Which I mean, so the salary cap's worked then.
Yeah, but they've made 5 grand finals, 4 grand finals,
which just goes to show,
and a few prelims as well. It's just untenable to be that good for that long. They've got to fall at some point. So 6th, which some, you know, some teams would chalk up as a success, but I think for those boys, it's they've got high demands, and so 6th it is. Who you got at 5th?
The Penny Panthers.
Yeah,
from Pepper Stadium.
Similar to where they finished last year,
fourth last year.
That's right. Yeah.
No real signings, but stability. Ivan Cleary. I just think that they'll do pretty much similar again.
They've lost Tim Grant.
I don't think they'll miss him,
yep,
from what I understand. Look, love him or hate him, I think Jamie Sowell done a great job with him last year, especially when he didn't have Wallace next to him.
Yeah, that's right.
And
Matty Moylan's only on the rise, isn't he?
Freak.
Yeah.
Freak.
Very
love
good.
Him. Love watching
fluid
him.
Fluid player.
Except for when he plays the Tigers, I get scared.
I got the Sharkies in at fifth.
Jeez, you got them up higher than me.
Yeah, I cannot see them making the top four, but I can see them making a decent run at the eight. And fifth is where I've got them. Like you've said, they've had a tough year. Surely the only way is up.
Yeah, I think so.
They finished in the top eight season before last, which a lot of people forget.
Yeah, yeah, and weren't far away.
And you know, they got beaten by Manly in the second week of the finals, I believe.
Yep.
And some might argue that they were maybe not robbed, but there was a Paul Gallen try which was disallowed, which was a very pivotal moment for them. So you know,
yeah.
Before they knew it, they could have made prelim. They've got the cattle.
Yeah,
they've absolutely got the cattle.
They've got a good forward pack. If Robson plays well with Barber next to him, I think they'll do something. And yeah, I don't think they'll run fifth. They don't think they'll get that high, but I still think they'll be in the eight. I'd be very surprised if they're not, put it that way.
Fourth place, you've got?
Roosters.
Hey.
Yeah.
Unanimous.
Oh, really?
I got the Roosters in 4-2.
But do you know what? Scarily, I think they can win the comp.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a team like your Manly and maybe Melbourne from 3-4 years ago, where they're a team of... They're a champion team.
Yeah.
You cannot write off a champion team.
Yeah. No Mini, no Sonny Bill. They've signed Blake Bowling Ball Ferguson.
Yes.
But, yeah, I just think fourth...
And they got Martin Kennedy back as well.
Yeah. Good.
Who had a good season before he left the Roosters.
I believe he's named 19th man this week.
Rotten season when he went to the Broncos.
Yeah, terrible. Didn't get on with Griffin from all reports. So, yeah.
Oh, good thing he left then. Yeah, brilliant.
Yes, I'll get them at fourth. Got Roosters at fourth.
Absolutely. I agree there. Number three, I've got the Cowboys. You?
Ditto.
Wow. Yeah. We're getting to the business end.
Yeah. Every year, a bit similar to the Warriors, I think this is the year. This is the year.
Yeah.
If this ain't
the
year...
I believe the Cowboys a lot more than I believe the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you've got Jonathan Thurston driving the bus.
Yeah. If he stays fit for the year... take away the Origin games, they are going to be a threat every week.
Yeah.
And I think they'll run third.
They got Lachlan Coote back. He's got to try to displace, is it Michael Morgan?
Yes.
Who moved from the halves to replace, because Coote, he's played all of about 5 minutes for the Cowboys, because he did his ACL, I believe, in the nines.
Yeah.
He made a nice little half break and then snapped his leg in half, and he's been on the sideline ever since. I believe Lachlan Coote's making a comeback... presently.
They've signed Ben Hannett.
They have.
Yeah, good signing, you think?
Yeah.
Solid.
I think he's only going to add to a pack.
Yeah.
How much he's going to add is another question, but...
Lost two Simses. Is that the plural for Sims? Simi.
Simes.
Simes.
Yeah. They've gone back down. Oh, one's gone to England, one's gone to Newcastle, is that right?
Yep.
Ashton's gone to England.
Yes.
Tariq has gone to join his...
Newcastle.
Brother Corbin at Newcastle. So that's a good get for Newcastle, actually. I really rate Tarek Sims. Number two, you've got?
Rabbitohs.
Yep.
Can't
argue with that one.
Yeah. What's more to say? They lose a few. They lose Sam. They lose Teo. And they lose Bo Champion. But they pick up Glenn Stewart. I think they'll be solid. Obviously, they've had a great off-season already. They've won everything. I believe they won the Lucky Door Prize as a whole at the South Sydney Leagues Club the other night.
Yep.
They don't lose much at the moment, and so I just think they'll run second.
Particularly not integrity investigations.
Ooh.
Well.
You can get him at late mailman.
Yeah, you know it. I've got the Penrith Panties, the Pink Panthers, in at number two.
Yeah.
Like we said, they're a team on the up. And I just think if they get a little bit going their way, I don't think they'll lose too many to Origin.
Yep.
Which is an important thing to consider.
True that.
So I've got them in at number two. Again, we happy to be wrong with these. It's just an inkling, I guess you
get. No, this is how they're happening.
I'd love to have some feedback at Late Mailman, at @former_legend, and the podcast itself at FCTTB_podcast. Drum roll.
My premier. I've got the boys from Belmore.
The Bulldogs?
Yeah.
You think? Another team that, just like Manly, have spent, well, since Dez has come along, up there.
I just think that he'll grab them one more place.
Yeah.
Do
you think Brett Morris is that fullback they've been looking for? Because with due respect, it was a failed experiment at the Dragons.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be their downfall, the Bulldogs, their fullback. But I still think, I've looked at their draw. There's a few punting.
It's a decent draw, isn't it?
If there is such a thing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think last year they called it a soft draw. I don't know if it's a soft draw, but they've got a great start to the year. They should start the first 14 weeks on a real fly. So I've got them finishing first.
I've got the Rabbitohs up there at number one.
Yeah, obvious choice.
They missed out on the minor premiership last year, and I believe the year before as well. I think they've been pipped for the minor premiership both. Not pipped last year, because they actually ended up finishing third, but they could have won it, I believe, towards the end of the season. The Rabbitohs, what more can be said?
Yeah.
They're an excellent team. They've, like you said, when you had them finishing second, they've just won everything.
Yeah.
We will see. All right, we move on after having a joint Dally M winner last year.
That's right, I forgot.
It was Jared Hayne and Jonathan Thurston.
Mm.
Most people had their good money on Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah.
For 2015, who do you see taking home the big gong?
Sam or Burgess.
Yes. Channel 9 aren't sponsoring. Ah, mate.
Well, if that's the case, I'll pick another bloke from Redfern. I think GI will win the Dally M.
Not a bad suggestion. He hasn't won one yet, I don't believe.
I don't think so either.
He's won about everything else he can win in the game.
Yeah, I think he wasn't far off from last year, if I remember correctly. And I just think he's in for another big one.
He's one of those guys that just, you think, how can he possibly get better?
And he does.
I heard Sturlo say the other day that the scary thing is he's still got his best years ahead of him. If he stays injury free, he's just a specimen. He's an absolute specimen.
In French rugby.
Yeah. Speaking of injury free, this guy,
who have you got for Dally M?
You'd argue has been crueled a couple of years because of this. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Blake Ferguson.
I said crueled, not saw the swift hand of justice. Dally M winner I've got. It's a bit boring because he shared it last year, but Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah. Again, very hard to argue with anything.
He's starving hungry for, I want to say, a proper premiership.
Yeah.
Came off the bench for the Doggies in 04.
Then gave
04, was it? Yeah, 2004. I think so. Yeah. 2004.
Gave his ring away.
Gave his ring to Steve Price. And I don't know, a half coming off the bench is a little bit weird. I don't remember seeing him play too much. I know he didn't play, but he wants to orchestrate a premiership.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just going to play. From all I hear, he is one of the biggest competitors the game has ever seen.
Well, you only got to watch him. I've gone and watched him a few times live. In the back play, he never shuts up.
Yeah.
He would be a pain in the ass to play with because he'd make you look at yourself in the mirror every game.
Yeah.
And he expects everyone to be just like him. A bit like Jordan, I guess. So, yeah, he's a freak.
He is. He's no doubt a freak, which means that he can do anything.
Top try scorer.
Top try scorer for 2015.
I'm a massive fan of my tip. Massive fan. I think he's probably gone back to fullback 1 year too late. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who'll probably take the one from where Minicello left.
Yep.
He could sidestep both me and you in a phone box.
He is good, isn't he?
I think he's going to score a lot of tries this year for the Roosters.
Yeah, I like it. I had two categories. I had State of Origin, and despite having an effective season-ending injury, I said Darius Boyd will still manage to be top try scorer in State of Origin.
Well, that'd be special.
All he has to do is fall over the line, and he can do that with a ruptured Achilles tendon.
He's going
to
fall over from the front row.
That's all he has to do. He just has to stand up on that 10-meter line, wait till the player gets up there, take the catch from GI,
and fall over.
Fall over the line. Proper. And it's arguable as to actually how to pronounce this guy's name. Depends which brother you ask. Sione Matautia.
Wow.
Matautai. Matautia.
All of them blokes.
Matautitita.
What was that?
I think that's just an alternative pronunciation of his name.
It was like he got touched halfway
Sione.
Through.
Sione. Yeah. I believe he will be top try scorer for 2015.
Yeah, I'd be worried about second year syndrome there, but all right.
That's the beauty of opinions, legend, you see.
Yeah.
Yours.
Mine's right. Mine, yours is right.
That's exactly right.
Okay. We will play some sad music. First coach gone.
Oh, it's got to be Wayne Bennett, right?
Really?
No.
Jeez.
No. Please.
I think you can get 1,000 to 1 if
he's
you want.
He's safer than God.
Ring Joel Kane.
He's safer than God. I'm going to say Andrew McFadden. Just because...
Didn't they sign him to like 7 years or something?
Yeah,
something stupid?
Yeah. I don't know. The Warriors change coaches more than they change
coaches. They don't pick and stick. I'm going to go the obvious one. I think it's paying about $1.10. Paul McGregor.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know they played well the other day in the World Cup Challenge.
Cup. Series tournament.
Shield. But with that in mind, I believe there's a lot of disharmony at that club if rumours are led to be believed. And, yeah, I don't know. There's I'm going to say him. Go on.
Okay, I got one for you. Origin winner in 2015. Bearing in mind there is one game in Sydney, then Melbourne, then Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm going to say one in a row for Queensland.
They're back.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got them back too.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like to say.
No, not I.
What I base this on is that Australia, they love a hype story.
Right.
They love to just, you know, like Australia at the World Cup soccer.
So you're predicting an outcome by because you think you can see the headlines first.
I believe that everyone's going to be like, oh, New South Wales, they broke it last year. Can they do it again?
Yeah.
I don't think they can.
I think we were very lucky last year.
Yep.
I'm still not sold on the halves.
I think they have to have cracking starts to the season.
Yeah. I'm going to go out and say Queensland will win, and I'll also say we will not have the same 6 and 7 for all three games.
I saw Michael Crocker yesterday predict Mitchell Pearce to be the Dally M winner of 2015, which will polarise people.
Big call.
It is a big call.
Mm.
He finished last season in shit hot form.
Mm.
If he starts the season in that, I'd say he will force New South Wales' hand. He will be picked as New South Wales' halfback.
I hope that girl gets a different colour than yellow the dress, you know.
I believe it's black and blue, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. What's that all about? Anyway, what's all about?
No, don't even. Yeah. Grand final winner for 2015.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that our table is not what we're talking about. Our minor premiers, first position was first position.
After round 20.
That's not our grand final winner something. Necessarily.
I'm going to toss it up and say, I think the Cowboys are finally going to do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I've got to be honest, I'm not entirely confident, but I just think off the back of Thurston and his hunger.
If you think they don't, like if they were to not do it, where are their weak points? What are their weak points? Are they losing the
well, I'm still not sold on a couple of their forwards, even though they got big names.
Yeah. Mine's sort of based on a bit of a 2005 fairy tale, and that is the Mountain Men. I've got the Panthers. I just think they're in for a big season. I know that they don't have the biggest roster in the world, but let's face it, neither did the Tigers in 2005.
Mm.
I just think if they can make it through, you know, just be there and thereabouts the whole year, and then make a nice run at the end of the season.
Right.
We will see. You seem very sceptical.
I'm not sold. I'm just thinking about the Merrin signing, actually. I was told there's two ways.
They're going to be playing a year ahead of themselves.
Not even that. I don't think the blokes that are there now will. I'm just thinking about the logic of it all. I was told that the Panthers had a theory in place that you don't pay anyone more than $500 a year, and that basically the wages are closer together at the Penrith club than any other club, whereas other clubs have one, two or three stars, like say Melbourne, and they make the rest up with smaller checks.
Yes.
And I just was thinking about Merrin and whether that goes against their whole ideology of everyone's around the same sort of pay structure.
Yeah. Well, that's what a few people have argued on Twitter
over the past time. So I'm not the first one to come up with that.
No, unfortunately not, mate. You should have patented.
I didn't tweet that out because I've got people watching all the time.
Yeah, it's a bit funny though, isn't it?
Anyway.
Oh well, 2015. It's going to be a massive NRL season. We will revisit these predictions in about 30 odd weeks' time. Who knows? What do you reckon?
Yeah, and we will put up our tables for everyone to peruse, screenshot, and then take the piss out of.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, have as much money as you can on our predictions.
The weekly full credit to the boys awards. Although this is the NRL preview, we're not going to go without our staples for the week. This is your chance to impress us on Twitter. You don't know we're watching, but we're watching. We are watching.
Like sex pests through a window. No?
We have two categories. We've got amateur and celebrity. We choose one tweet which has impressed us each week. And I'd like you to start this week. With your amateur.
My amateur broke the internet. And it was a guy by the name, goes by the name Benny Wise, but his Twitter handle is at MyBsideLife.
Right.
And he tweeted out, I've been waiting for this moment all summer. And what it was a picture from the South Africa versus West Indies game. Oh, you've probably everyone's seen it by now. I believe it's up to about 280 retweets, last look.
Yep.
And it's a picture of De Kock from South Africa. I'll say that again, De Kock, standing next to Ramdin from...
I did see
West
that.
Indies. And
not only were they standing next to each other, but they were standing with backs to camera so their shirt names were
running beautifully.
Yeah.
It was a piece of magic from Benny, and I think he cooked a phone in from all his notifications on Twitter.
Absolutely. Well, listen, my amateur one this week is from a fellow called Harry Barry Larry, and his Twitter handle is at Harry Barry Lar 1. And it was one of those somewhat sort of negative reactions to Trent Merrin's move from the Dragons to Penrith.
Right.
And it read, congrats on a contract as... I'll read that again. Congrats on a contract as fat as you, mate. Best of luck at Trent Merrin. So I don't know if that's a compliment or if it's...
I don't think so. I'm going to go out on a limb there. No, I don't think that's a compliment.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought he might have been like, yeah, I'm happy for you, but you're fat, Trent. So that's a bit cruel. I've got to argue that Harry Barry Larry probably doesn't have Sally Bally Wally Fitzgibbons waiting at home for him, does he?
Nor do I.
No, but we're not out there calling Trent Merrin fat. Your celebrity this week?
Well, mine's a bit of an interchange between two celebrities. Now, we're not going to choose sides here, but I just want to, anyone that didn't see this, The Mole, who we
Rugby
like.
Week Mole, yeah.
He does some great work on Twitter. He put up a hint towards another person being named in the cocaine saga.
Oh, yes.
And for some reason, it came out that it was possibly someone from New Zealand.
Yes, yes.
Which then began, obviously, the mountains of speculation about who it could be. And people were quite willingly tossing names up with their theories and that.
That's a dangerous murky world to get into.
Yeah. And so, Steve Price, who... Former Bulldog, former Warrior. Who he came on board and jumped on Twitter. And Steve Price is a good bloke, by the way. So yes. Steve got on there and said, be very careful what you say to one of the users. I would retract my name from this rubbish immediately if I was you, champ. So The Mole jumped straight back on and said, don't let the haters get to you, bro, talking to Steve Price. Steve Price then just jumped straight back on The Mole and said, it doesn't help when you post the things you post and leave it up to people to toss any name up. And then Molly came back and said, why are you making me out to be the bad guy, yada, yada, yada.
He's got a point.
Look, I see both sides.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm a fan of The Mole. I know you are as well.
Yeah.
And Steve Price is a great bloke. However, this is where it gets dangerous and murky. And
when you speculate on something... the two of us could do that whatever we wanted. If we had something, we could just we could throw something out there now, some wildly conjecturous point, and let people just start murmuring about it, and then fuel fire and all that sort of stuff. And before you know it, people are being named and stories are being investigated. So you do have to be very careful. But I did notice that exchange. It was hostile at best, I think you would call it.
Yeah, yeah. So
my celebrity this week is at sportsbet.com.au. I do enjoy their social media stuff. It was in reference to the story that the MCG are going to rewind their food and drink prices to that of 10 years ago.
Wow.
So, for instance, last year, a hot chips was $5.60. This year, it's $4. A hot dog was $6.50. Now, it's $4. Chicken schnitty burger was $10. Now, it's $7.50. Stuff doesn't go backwards in this world anymore. It's fantastic. they tweeted, it's not just food going cheap at the G this year. Melbourne membership, 2014, $180. 2015, free. Poor old
good,
D's.
Very good.
Our Twitter challenge is, well, it's not going wonderfully.
Oh.
What we did is, at the start of this podcast, we issued each other a challenge where we had to get a follow and a reply from a certain celebrity. I issued Sally Fitzgibbons to former legend, which in return, he gave me Shane Warne, which is pretty bloody tough, to be honest. How'd you go?
I tried a new tact. Some would call it tantamount to desperation.
Yep.
This week. I had a crack and said, "Hi, Sally Fitz. I think my Twitter is playing up. Can you retweet this and follow me to see if it's working?"
Ooh, clever.
And? Cheers. Oh, well, straight away, one of my followers had a crack and said, "Don't do it, Sally. He just wants the money out of your bank account. He owes me $26,000.
What?
Now, that hasn't helped, I've got to tell you. I know she was joking, but any chance that my devious plan was going to work went straight out the window with that, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, so a few retweets, lots and lots of people tweeting me, comments, blah, 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 blah.
None from Sally.
Sally still nothing. Someone did say, I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know. It's from, I don't know if you follow this guy on Orange Empty Seat, Empty Orange Seat. No, something like that.
Sounds familiar. I don't know.
Anyway, so he said that Trent has told Sally what we're up to.
Yeah.
So that's going to make my job.
Well, that's assuming that Trent Merrin's listening to us, which after some of the stuff we've said, I hope he's not. At Shane Warne is my target. And he went on with some of that stupid stuff he went on with this week. Yesterday he said, "How good is this lolly jar? What's your favorite? Mine are the white buds. So, so good. Thumbs up." And it was just a picture of a lolly jar with some lollies in it. So today I actually did something kind of similar to what you said. I said, "For the record, Shane Warne, I say freckles are best." I just thought, you know what, I'll just, you know.
Sure, butter him up.
Join him with you. You can't beat him, join him. I say freckles are best. P.S. Do you prefer blueberry or choc chip muffin? Retweet for blueberry, follow for choc chip. And I thought I can at least get halfway there, right?
That's good, very good.
I didn't get a single nibble from a single soul in the whole bloody Twitterverse.
Did you want to check now just to make sure that nothing's happened?
I just did. Donuts or freckles, if you will. Boys sack time. This is our shout out to you guys who've taken the time to tweet us or Facebook us or someone carrier pigeoned us the other day.
Instagrammed.
No, pigeon just shit on me.
Oh, okay.
I think that was that guy from last week. It could have been some feedback. That's exactly right. So we got some shout outs this week. Who we got?
I just want to shout out to the. Start that again. Sorry. I just had to find that tweet. First of all, I just want to shout out to a guy at BJO Rosenberg,
right,
who tweeted me after I had a crack at Sally, well, not a crack at Sally Fitz, but you know what I'm saying, and said that I'm the funniest guy on Twitter, which, whilst may be true, I don't want to confirm that. Yes, I am. Also, to someone at Salthorse,
yep,
who said, "The FCTTB underscore podcast is genius. I just found it. Predicted on the 16th of December 2014, with a quotation, "Who'd have thought footballers would get in trouble on the Gold Coast?"
Well, what can we say?
Thank you.
And the other one, James Courtney. He gave us a little bit of a shout-out, very indirectly, very tenuous, if you will. But he was... so after his success at Clipsal over the weekend, he was on LAFM Launceston, and some of my spies were listening to them this morning.
I believe the one of our listeners actually tweeted us with this, a guy by the name of @PeteBulldogs09.
Yes.
Who gave us the... told us to have a look at this. So what did he tell us?
Let's have a listen. This is what James Courtney said.
No, it's a great result. There's 67 blokes working back at the factory who deserve this as much as I do. So, credit goes to those cats.
So I did say it was tenuous, but I think he said credit and he said boys in there. So I'm going to claim it.
I think Pete said he also said it on his victory speech. So someone can get that and send it into us. That would be really
Please
good.
Please do @FCTTB_podcast. Oh, and finally, a fellow called Ron De Paradise. I like that. I actually hadn't noticed that until I've just read it out there.
Yeah, no, that's one of the best.
Ron De Paradise. Lovely. His Twitter handle is @SydneyMustard. This guy's just multi-layered. he tweeted us after we dropped last week's podcast and said, I'm downloading it now. If I get 3 belly laughs from this episode, I'll leave a review. He's referring to a review on iTunes, which you can do at any time. Please do. Anyway... I didn't hear back from him, and I thought, oh, geez, maybe last week's was a bit too dry for him. I wrote back to him, can we assume that we fell short of the 3 belly laughs, Ronnie? Give us another chance. To which he wrote back today, bloody hell, I forgot. Got married on the weekend, so had heaps on. #3 belly laughs. So congratulations to Ron De Paradise.
You idiot. I mean, well done. Congratulations.
So congratulations to you, and also for having 3 belly laughs for us. Then he tweeted me again. He said, I'm on the airplane, can't work out how to leave a review, but I'm trying. So he's on his way to his honeymoon, and he's like, just stand aside, bride. I'm trying to do this important task.
And Ron, if you can send a picture of Mrs. De Paradise, as is the tradition on this podcast, we'd be greatly welcoming of that, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. So we did talk about giving reviews. Please do log on to iTunes. When you search for Full Credit to the Boys, click on the podcast. You can leave a review in the little middle tab there. Click on the 5 stars and a review if you want. If please. You only think it's 1 star, that's what you think. So please do that. We are on Twitter @FCTTB_podcast, @former_legend, and @latemailman. Facebook as well. We're going to put our tables, our rugby league 1-16s up there for the season 2015.
Yeah, and feel free to comment on them. Put your own up if you want. Give that Facebook page some love. Apparently, it's lacking in love.
Full credit to the boys on Facebook. You can find us there, and we're all over Twitter most days as well. Tell your friends about us. We'll see you next time. Bye.